It began last May in a Sunday school class in Mesa, Arizona. William Hunter was convicted of the need to pray daily for President Bush. So Hunter started developing ways to help people to remember to pray for the president. His Sunday school class thought that these were great ideas and that he should expand them to the entire nation. So together, they developed the presidential prayer team and began testing the concept in several churches. 2 weeks into the testing process, September 11th hit. A simple version of their website was up and running at that time, and by the end of October, 500,000 members had signed up to pray for our president. Today, there are 1 million people on our presidential prayer team. I'm one of them. Their goal is 2.8 million prayers, 1% of the U.S. population. Now, if you'd like more information about this presidential prayer team, call the church office this week. After September 11th, America was praying. Before September 11th, talk was about how do we restrict prayer in our public life. Now praying and prayer services are part of our common speech. Is this just lip service to prayer? Or will we become a praying nation? Let me pose this question more fittingly to the church, to Grace Church. Do we just give lip service to prayer? Or will we become a praying people? Will Grace Church become a house of prayer? Now hear me. Prayer is the single most important thing we do. Do you hear me? Prayer is the single most important thing that we do. So we consider it right from the beginning of the new year. We begin today our annual first of the year series on prayer. This series is listed in the bulletin and on our website. Today, the priority of prayer. Next Sunday, dealing with temptation, the prayer of prevention. And then the weeks to come, making a difference, the power of prayer, building intimacy, praying with and for people. And then finally, convincing others to follow Jesus, the persuasion of prayer. Now, the goal of this series is to encourage, to challenge, to teach, to rebuke you to go forward in your prayer life. We must be a praying people and a praying church, a house of prayer. It's not going to work otherwise. Prayer is the spiritual fuel of our Christian life. Our church will not work, nor will we flourish if we don't pray. And listen to me, neither will your personal Christian life work nor flourish without prayer. Prayer is something that you can do. Everyone here can do it. You can pray. So number one this morning, the priority of prayer. Number two this morning, the problem of prayerlessness. And then three, the prescription for prayerlessness. Let's consider the priority of prayer. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2? It's found on page 1174 in your pew Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writes, "I urge then, first of all, that request, prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for everyone." Urge, a strong word. There is an urgency to Paul's admonition here. And I want with Paul to urge you here at Grace Church today to plead with you, to strongly say to you, first of all, urge you, plead with you, strongly say to you, make prayer the priority. Make it first of all. Paul says here, first of all. He says before anything else, pray. First of all is about primacy and importance. The most important thing you can do is pray. Now, some of you may not agree with that statement. All of you will agree that it is one of the most important things that you can do. But consider with me that it's the most important thing you do. In prayer, you worship. In prayer, you respond to the Word of God. You speak the Word of God. You apply the Word of God. In prayer, you evangelize as you pray for the lost. In prayer, you practice holiness through confession. Consider this morning that prayer is the most important thing that you do in your Christian life. And every one of you can do it. You can pray. First of all, is our theme or our key phrase for this prayer series. Would you take the card that's in your bulletin out, please? Would everybody just do that? Take that card and just wave it to me, will you? I want to see everybody. All right, there you go. Now, keep that card in front of you, and I want to ask you to put that card somewhere prominent. On your refrigerator, your mirror, your desk at work, somewhere where you will see it often. And then let's say this phrase to ourselves in these next 5 weeks. First of all, pray. Let's ask each other, spouses, husbands and wives, children and parents. Parents, ask your children. Small group members, let's ask each other, did you pray first? Pray first before you take that test. Pray first before you make that business presentation. Pray first before you go in to resolve a conflict with your wife or your husband or with your child and you need to discipline them. Pray first before you make a large purchase. Pray first before you eat a meal. Pray first before you solve a problem. Pray first before you make a decision. Pray first before you go to surgery or have chemotherapy. First of all, before anything else, pray. Would you look at the card and say it with me? Let's say it together. First of all, pray. Once more, first of all, pray. Now let's look at the rest of this verse to get a handle on prayer. What is prayer? Well, in the New Testament, there are 7 different Greek nouns that are used for prayer. 4 of them are used here in this verse. The first one is request. It's used 19 times in the New Testament. And this word emphasizes the idea of need. Prayer is about our neediness, our deep sense of need. You see, we're not self-sufficient people. We have weaknesses and needs. We're to be humble and dependent, not prideful people. The second word, prayers, is used 37 times in the New Testament. It's the most general use of the word for prayer. This word emphasizes turning to God. You go to God. This word is only used in the context with God. This is what happened after September 11th. We turned to God. We prayed. We turned to Him. This word carries the idea of orienting the needle of our life to true north, to God. We don't go other places. We go to true north. We go to God. We turn to God in need. We turn to God in worship. We turn to God in confession. Now, the third word there is intercession. This is the least common word for prayer in the New Testament. It's only used 2 times here in 1 Timothy, in chapter 2 and verse 1, and in chapter 4, verse 5. This word acquired the meaning of entering into the king's presence and submitting a petition to him. Trench says it means boldly drawing near to God. The ancient father Origen says, with boldness, we access the presence of God. So, this word carries the idea of boldness in approaching God. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness. We have boldness, we have confidence because Jesus has made a way to God. He is our high priest. Listen, we can go into the very presence of the God of the universe. Now, not because of anything that we are or what we've done, but because Jesus has given us and done everything we need to have access. We can come to God. Hear me. We can be at His very throne room. So come with boldness and confidence. What a privilege that we have. And then the last word here in this verse is thanksgiving. Prayer isn't just about asking. It's praising and worshiping. It's giving thanks to God for who He is and for what He has done in our lives. It's enjoying God in communion and conversation of prayer. So here in this verse, we have a few snapshots of what prayer is. Do you see these four words and how they begin to define prayer for us? It's my deep need and weakness before God. It's turning my whole life, my whole orientation towards God. All of my life, my needs, my worship, my affections, my will, all that I am, I just turn it to God. That's what happened September 11th when our world shattered. We oriented, we turned to God. It's a boldness and a confidence to be at the throne room of the God of the universe, a privilege. But yet we don't come, we come with reverence, but we come with boldness. We know where we are in the presence of the Almighty God of the universe. And then it's a full heart of thanksgiving and praise that we enjoy God in conviction. First of all, we do these things: requests, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. First of all, we pray. Now, note one more thing in this verse, would you? I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. These varied facets and expressions of prayer are not just for my personal interest and needs. Definitely they're for me. But notice what it says, they're also for others, for everyone. Hear me, prayer is all-inclusive. It covers everyone. Jesus said that we are even to pray for our enemies. That's how inclusive prayer is. It's all-inclusive. No one is outside of the realm of prayer. So hear me, on the basis of 1 Timothy 2:1, pray first of all, and pray for everyone. And yet, even with this very clear mandate from Scripture, we too easily live in prayerlessness. Consider with me the problem of prayerlessness and how easily we revert back to a life of prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. We don't have regular, specific times for personal prayers, for family prayers with our children and with our spouse. We don't attend church gatherings of prayer. We don't know how to pray. We pray only when we're in trouble. We don't fast. We don't have an organized prayer method. We don't enjoy or look forward to prayer, to spending time with God. It's an afterthought. We don't see answers to prayer in our lives. We don't pray God's agenda. We spend little time in prayer. This morning, let's be open to the Spirit's conviction about our prayerlessness. Now, let me state it another way. Prayer is an area of our life that we can always improve in, get better, go deeper. It's like servanthood or love. We never arrive in these areas. There's always room for each one of us to grow here in becoming a more loving person, in becoming more of a servant. In the same way, there's always room for all of us to grow in becoming more of a praying person. So ask the Spirit to lead you, to convict you. What's the next step in your life? This month, determine to take a next step to go deeper in your prayer life. Now, I'm not asking you necessarily to take a huge leap forward, but go forward in some way to grow your prayer life. In some way, another step to go deeper and to pray more. In some way, move away from prayerlessness towards growth in prayer. Be warned today about prayerlessness. Be warned about the seriousness of prayerlessness. Don't be lukewarm or indifferent to your prayer life. Here's one list by Nancy DeMoss about what prayerlessness is. Let this convict you. Prayerlessness is sin against God. Look at the verse behind me. As for me, Samuel says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Prayerlessness is disobedience to the word of God. Jesus said, watch and pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Prayerlessness makes us vulnerable to temptation. We'll deal with that topic next week. Prayerlessness expresses our independence, pride, and self-sufficiency, that we have no need for God. What a dangerous place to try to live. Prayerlessness results in powerless lives. Prayerlessness limits our love relationship with God. Prayerlessness hinders us from knowing God's will and His priorities and His directions. Prayerlessness forces us to operate in the realm of the natural, what I can do, versus faith in the supernatural, what He can do. Prayerlessness leaves us weak, harried, and hassled in our everyday life. Prayerlessness leaves us with a lack of real love and compassion for others. Be warned today. Be convicted about your prayerlessness. All of us, let's resolve this month to take a step, the next step. Take a step forward in your prayer life. Then share this step with someone so that they can hold you accountable and come alongside of you and encourage you. Don't leave your prayer life the same as we begin this new year. Grow it and develop it by taking a step forward. Now, thirdly, a prescription for prayerlessness. This isn't a specific list. We'll give some specifics throughout this series. Talk to others about how to grow your prayer life, to find some specifics. Discuss it in your small group. Read a book on prayer. Attend a class on prayer here at Grace Church. Get involved in more prayer opportunities at church. What I'd like to do here is to give you two general attitudes. And these attitudes, trust me, will drive you to a deeper prayer life. The first attitude is cultivate a desperate heart. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's on page 441. This chapter records a prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed. And I want you to notice the context of this prayer. Verse 1, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Menuhites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. They are coming around him to make war. There is a vast army. They don't know what to do. So verse 4, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town to seek help for the Lord. This vast army is around them. They are helpless and they are desperate. You see it summarized in verse 12 of this prayer. Look at what Jehoshaphat says. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do. But, our eyes are upon you. People, what's your vast army? Embrace your difficulties. It's good to be desperate for God. You get the picture here? There was nothing else they could do. They were surrounded by this army. God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Embrace your difficulties. Lord, we don't know what to do. It's good to be desperate for God. When you are desperate, you'll pray. Being desperate for God will take you to deeper places with Him in prayer. Now, for those of you in difficulty today, being desperate for God is easier at this season of your life. The challenge is to keep this desperate heart for God when it's smooth sailing. That's the challenge. Well, here are two things to help us stay desperate for God when our lives are smooth sailing. For those of you who have smooth sailing today. Number one, remember the difficult times. Don't ever forget them. Recall them to mind. Don't easily forget when the vast army was attacking you and when you were in deep, deep need. And number two, understand, have this mindset that the next breath that you take, The next sunrise that you see is only by the grace and the mercy of God. Live every day by His grace and mercy. His grace is getting what I don't deserve. My next breath and the next sunrise. It's getting His enabling in my life. It's getting what I don't deserve as a gift from His gracious hand. And His mercy is not getting what I do deserve. To live by grace and mercy, memorize Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of His great love, we are not consumed. His mercies, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Live every day by His grace and mercy. Be aware of this perspective of life. It is only by His grace and mercy that you take your next breath or see the next sunrise. This will keep you humble and dependent and build within you a heart that is desperate for God. Let me give you two brief examples. In August of 2000, we went through a financial crisis at Grace Church. We put a brief, on all our spending. And so I called the leaders of Grace Church to prayer and fasting, to seek the face of the Lord. And God answered us that year and this year. Finances this past year have been good. Not great, but good. Let's never forget this past crisis. Let's be desperate in prayer before God for the ongoing financial challenges in front of us here at Grace Church. That's the only way it's going to work. That we're desperate for God in this area of need. Now, personally, I have felt a sense of ever growing more and more desperate for God in this ministry. This is a good thing. Hard, but good. Pressures, responsibilities, and what's at stake just increase. They don't level off. They don't get less. Pressures, responsibilities, and what's at stake in this ministry is just increasing. And my heart is desperate for God to try to lead this congregation. I can't do it. I need every day new grace and new mercy. I'm going deeper in prayer. It's my only confidence to be your pastor in the days ahead. Now, the second attitude to overcome prayerlessness, it's not only to cultivate a desperate heart, but also to cultivate a heart of delight. When our heart delights in God, we will pray more. We'll want to be with God. We seek what we delight in. We seek what we enjoy. So delight in God. Enjoy God. The psalmist says in Psalm 63:1, O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Look at 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord. How do you thirst more for God? How do you delight more in Him? Well, briefly, here are three things to try in the new year. Eat healthy, exercise regularly, and get plenty of rest. Eat healthy, the right foods. That is, feed on things of God. Eat the Word. Set your mind and affection on things above. Think on things that are pure and true. Stop indulging in the junk food of this world with its wrong values and priorities. Too much TV and movies. Too much materialism. Too much comfort and convenience. Change your taste buds. Eat right. Develop a hunger for God. And then exercise. Exercise the spiritual disciplines. Build these godly habits in your life. Here's to name a few. A daily quiet time. Every day, time with God in the Bible and in prayer. Fast periodically. Take twice a year, a day or a half a day, for a personal spiritual retreat. A time for solitude. Be a servant more. Practice silence periodically. What do I mean by that? Take a day periodically that you commit not to talk about yourself in that day. Worship on Sunday mornings. Give your tithe. to name a few. Develop a regular spiritual discipline exercise program. And then thirdly, get plenty of rest. Don't burn both ends of the candle in hurry, worry, and self-effort. One final passage of Scripture. Turn with me to Psalm 62. Page 568 in your pew Bible. I love this psalm. Verse 1, my soul find rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Verse 5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation, my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my fortress. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Rest in God, in God alone. Submit and surrender to Him. Wait on Him. Run to Him as your refuge. Don't be overcome with anxiety and worry. Now, I'm a worrier, and I'm trying to make sure that I make plenty of time for resting in the Lord this year rather than frantic worry. I, this year, resolve to get plenty of rest in the Lord. You'll seek God more and more in prayer and overcome prayerlessness as you delight in God. So develop a heart of delight. Here it is. Eat healthy, exercise regularly, and get plenty of rest. In conclusion then, let's stop today, this new year, any backward slide towards prayerlessness. Let's resolve, let's commit. Hear me, here's the point of this series, to take some step forward in your prayer life. Now, I'm not asking you to jump off a tall building, but a step, something forward. Resolve to grow and go deeper in your prayer life in the weeks to come. Ask the Spirit to show you what this means. Ask the Spirit to help you. Then, excuse me. Then share it with someone for accountability and encouragement. Hear me again. Prayer is the most important thing that we do. Prioritize prayer. First of all, the Scripture says, first of all, pray. As we come to communion, let's put this message into practice. Pray in the moments of silence. Pray about your neediness. Pray about reorienting your life towards God in this new year. Pray with confidence and boldness that you have a privilege to be in the presence of the God of the universe. And then pray with deep thanksgiving for the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.